Well, we've come to the last verses in 1 Thessalonians, and I want to read these together again, and then I'm jumping off because the basic reading here is what we do on a Sunday morning and we should be doing in our life. So I'm going to read the white, and you read the yellow. Brethren, pray for us. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. All right. So we pray for each other. We fellowship with each other. We learn God's word, accept his grace. You know, it's very interesting because in Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 42, it says almost exactly the same thing. But you know, when I look at that, that's just the beginning. God has a vision for us. And the vision here in the church is
loving God and people.
Good. Man, that's great. Did you see it on a wall or something? Loving God and people, but there's more. We have a mission that God has given us out of his word, and we've reduced it to seven words so we can remember it, and it is
building up
and serving together. All right. And we believe that encompasses all that God tells us to do. So this morning, I want to continue with the first part of those three parts, the bringing in. And if you remember, he gave us the ministry of reuniting people with God. Now, I want you to think about this because really, isn't that the focus for God? Everything else is a support of bringing in, but God wants people to come to him and be reunited with him. And so it's a highly important thing. It takes a lot of support by all of you for that to happen. And what bringing in means to us, at least at this point, and by the way, I have a clipboard out on by the coffee bar there if you want to join the outreach team, okay? Because I know a lot of you had sent me emails and that kind of thing, and we're going to really talk and get that rolling. But the bottom line is, first of all, we want you to invite people to church so they can hear the word of God, they can have a free cup of coffee, and they can get familiar. And then we want to go to our community and visit the visitors and visit people that and have point of wanting to talk to them about Jesus Christ. But here's the thing. We need to understand, and I'm going to say this about 20 times, to understand people know who God is. We think they don't, right? And so simply put, we want to share the good news with people, lead people to Christ, and I believe it's worthy of one more week to talk about because I think this is so important. Because we have to consider today, what we have to consider today is huge in sharing with people about salvation. Because if they don't know anything at all, it makes it very hard. Okay, but when they already know in their hearts, makes it pretty easy for us to talk about God's offer of salvation. And in a nutshell, people know more about God than they admit, according to God. Not according to me. When we share Christ with someone, we share our testimony or we talk about spiritual things or whatever we do to get people oriented to spiritual things, what you see in here is not what you get. Does that make sense? When you look at them straight in the eyes, what you see and hear is not what you get. We see resistance, we see supposed atheism or world philosophies, we see that they even have this strength of like they're set in stone and nothing's going to move them. We see people who think, and when we see people, we think that they have never heard the gospel or they simply don't understand it. We might even feel like God isn't being fair to the innocently ignorant. But God says something entirely different than that, and I want you to listen to this, okay? 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Samuel the prophet has gone to David's family, and he's going through the brothers, starting with the oldest, and David's not even out there. He's attending sheep. And they're going all the way through, and so Samuel's telling God, well, boy, these guys are really huge. They could get a lot accomplished, and this is what God says. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And the problem is, when we think of evangelism, we only think about the outward appearance, right? We only think, man, I just don't want to share with my friend because it makes me nervous and they won't understand what I'm saying. And if I share and it's wrong, it'll goof them up forever. Wrong. It doesn't goof them up forever. We have a Holy Spirit that takes care of that. Amen? All right. So, you know, as I read that scripture, I looked at a penny. I pulled a penny out of my pocket and I saw this in trust. Oh, I think that's very interesting that we have that on our money, even though we've become somewhat of an atheistic type of a society. So I looked at the nickel, same thing, the quarter, the same thing. The dollar, I mean, I didn't get higher than a dollar. I didn't have more than that in my pocket. But I'm just going to act like I know. Okay, all right. You know, as I looked at that ballot, I thought, you know, our country's leaders trust that there's a God. When is convenient or necessary? And we see the same thing if you read the Old Testament, especially when you get in 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. The kings that rejected God knew that God existed. I think about Elijah and Ahab, King Ahab, the worst king of all of Israel. And he goes, oh no, the man of God has come to torture me again. Ahab knew there was a God. And they all knew there was a God. But what happens in our society each time we have a catastrophe? All right? They ask for prayer. That's always pretty easy. Boy, if you who are prayers out there, if you would pray, well, why? If there isn't a God, why do we even need to pray? So the universe can collect itself? And the God talk comes out, and all of a sudden is politically correct for a day, maybe two, that we need God at this point in our history. And they may act self-sufficient and look strong. They feel like they may be creating a better society than one outside of God, but when push comes to shove, they know there's a God. I want to read Romans 1, starting with verse 18 through 20. I've read this many, many times, but I just feel like we need to understand that. We need to not only understand that, we need to stand on that when we're talking to somebody else that lacks faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Who what? Suppress. Who hold back, who restrain the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they know they're holding it back. Because what may be known of God is manifest. It's revealed in them, for God has what? Shown it to them. Does it get any clearer than that? For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power. And a lot of the translations say Godhead. It means deity, okay? Even his eternal power and deity, so that they... without excuse. Okay, that doesn't quite add up to what we think in our mind when we talk to someone. We kind of think they're ignorant and that they don't understand and they're confused and somehow they're going to go to hell confused because God's not going to listen to them because they didn't get it. No, they get it. Yeah. If you're reading there, they get it. Everyone that is born knows about God. Let me tell you how I know that. John 1, 9. That was the true light. He is the true light. But the light is which and he is who? Gives light to every man coming into the world. Do you see that this morning? God enlightens every person coming in. Now, if you believe that and you stood on that truth, would it change what you say to people? Yeah. They already know. They don't need a timid me or a timid you to kind of beat around the bush. They need us to say it straight out because they already know it. Our leaders know about God. We know about God. Our neighbors know about God. The people we work with know about God. People that say there is no God are boasting their lie and denying the truth. They know he exists. And they suppress it. They restrain it. They don't want it because they want to play. They want to do whatever it is that they want to do. And they keep the truth from being known. Psalms 53:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool. When the judgment comes, folks, every knee is going to bow. Every knee. I want to read this out of Philippians 2:9-11. That at the name of Jesus, how many?
Every
knee should bow of those in heaven, of those on earth, of those under the earth, hell. And that every tongue should confess or agree, that could be another word for confess and agree, that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. Does that sound like somebody that doesn't know? And has to go, oh, okay, yeah, I agree now. No. Stop feeling sorry for the liars. I don't know how else to put it. Right? Stop feeling sorry for all the liars out there. Because everyone knows about God and they're without defense. You know, just a while back I was looking at on YouTube about Billy Graham, and it showed several presidents that he had influence over, praying with them. They'd invite him to the White House, especially in times of trouble, and he would pray for them in the Oval Office when times are tough, from Eisenhower to the Bushes. Our last president wouldn't have men. But from Eisenhower in the late 50s all the way to George Bush, he showed up and prayed during the times. And they show him in the Oval picture I have up there was a point in which I think that was Nixon's funeral, which he performed. Why did they do that? Why did they have Billy Graham come pray for him when things were hard? Aren't they the king or the president and they know everything and they have good teams and that kind of thing? But sitting in the Oval Office when the decision comes where soldiers are going to be killed or civilians or we're putting America in danger. And this is the reason I think. Billy Graham was God's representative and he's still alive, but he can't do those things anymore. He was the modern Elijah, the prophet in this country. When he spoke, the leaders listened, whether they liked him or not, because he had a strong faith, he trusted in God, and he had a lack of fear. He represented God. I remember particularly when I was a kid, I was watching a variety show, and they had him on, and he did some skits in the variety show, and finally the guy comes on, and he says, well, you know, it's not fair. We should let Billy say what he wants to say, because he was kind enough to do our skits. And Billy walks out and goes, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That was his first sentence. And I was kind of taken back. I thought, man, he did that on a variety show with they obviously probably weren't at least Christian. And so he has such a strength, and he stood on the strength, the same strength that I'm talking about this morning, that people would listen to him. But they don't listen to us when we don't come on strength. Listen to this from Philippians chapter 1, verse 28. And not in any way terrified by your adversaries, talking about you and I, which is to them a proof of perdition, of destruction, but to you of salvation and that from God. In other words, if you aren't afraid, when you approach them, they know they're going to hell. Now, I know that personally because I've had, years back, a lot of you knew my testimony. I was an atheist for about 5 years, and I can remember that there are a couple people that came to my door, and I couldn't wait for them to come to my door so I could tear them all apart. And when they were strong and they talked about Jesus Christ as Lord, man, did I see hell in my eyes. So I know by personal experience that that's true. We don't have to be afraid because they already know. We're just verifying what they already know in their heart. Are you hearing me this morning? The reason I'm talking about this is because it makes it so much easier to share our faith without fear if we know they know. If we think they don't know, then it's much harder. So when a leader or you and I find out we're beyond control, we seek God. Do you remember, as far as an example goes, when the Twin Towers got hit, did you hear any religious talk? Oh my gosh. It was all over the place. It was like the whole country got religious for about a week. And it was almost like we got all born again for a little bit. And boy, it wasn't, well, you know, the collection of the universe. It was about God, fundamentalism. It was Bible-believing religious. Newsmen and women were talking about asking for prayer and comfort in this time. And I remember Brit Hume. Now, Brit Hume is was on Fox News. Can you go to the next slide so we can look at that? Do you remember him? He was on Fox News, and he clearly gave a message of salvation while he was doing the news when the Twin Towers hit. I mean, it was clear. He said he and his family had put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and they could too, and offered and told them how they could have forgiveness of sins, okay? And it seemed acceptable at that time. But where's Brit? That political correctness passed. And I'm sure he's probably called on the carpet and said, wait a minute. But that was months afterwards, right? Because he was just fine. And then one day he had to retire. And is he on another news station? I don't know. I haven't seen him. Or you might remember at the same time, Bryant Gumbel did an interview with Billy Graham's daughter. Her name's Ann Graham. They were talking about the tragedy, and Gumbel asked her, why did God stop this? Why didn't he do something about it? And this is her answer to him. For years we have told God we didn't want him in our schools, we didn't want him in our government, we didn't want him in our finances. And God was a perfect gentleman in doing just what we asked him to do. We need to make up our mind. Do we want God or do we not want him? We can't just call on him when desire strikes. Do you know what Brian's answer to her was? Silence. He didn't have anything to say, because it's true, isn't it? Oprah's last day on regular network. Did anybody see that? I don't know. And what'd she do? After all of her years of giving this new agey philosophy and stuff, she gives a clear salvation message. And I thought, wow, that's unbelievable. Why didn't you do that while you were on the air? Because it was politically incorrect. What's your faith like? Is it like Paul's? Is it like Ann's? Is it like Billy's? Are we willing to stand up and not be afraid and talk to people about God? Now, I'm just as afraid as you are. Right? Okay? But can we stop being afraid because we know they know? We just need to tell them, be reunited with God. You know, as I thought about this, the Israelites wandering in the wilderness, maybe 5 million they estimate, walking through. Deb and I were there, and we walked through part of that wilderness. It's just unbelievable hard. I think we always think the wilderness is a big flat area with the little moon rocks. No, it's up and down and up and down. It's 70% of Israel is mountainous. And these people walk through this the whole time. And as they would camp each time, they put up these banners, okay? And when they put up these banners, they knew where to go for their particular tribe, because they had 12 tribes all marching through there. And these banners served a practical purpose, identification. I'm identified with Judah, or I'm identified with Simeon, or I'm identified with the Levites, or whatever it may be. But those flags gave identification to those people. And so they could separate and walk and find their way back home. As I thought about that, I thought, Jesus Christ is our banner. Believing the truth and having faith in Jesus Christ is our banner. That's who we're identified with. And the world needs Jesus Christ more now than ever. So I want to read 2 Corinthians 5:20 in the New Living Translation, so it seems a little bit different than what we... So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. It isn't, do you know God? It's come back to God. And the question I guess I have this morning is, are we going to take up that challenge to be his representative? I'm not saying this because we're at the end of 1 Thessalonians. I'm saying it because we need to hear it this morning. Amen. And I know it's not easy. I know, I just look out and I see the fear on some of your faces. But I want you to invite you today, and if the worship team will come back up, I want to invite you today. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning, and if you're a visitor, you're certainly welcome to join us. We have two stations on each side, and you just go over and get your bread and juice and maybe get it for someone else if you're sitting with somebody else. But I want to invite you into us celebrating our banner, Jesus Christ. I believe with all my heart that God can do great things through us, has been doing great things through us, but we haven't hit it yet. I think there's a stride we have not hit yet, and it's time for action. With our banner, are we willing to share Christ and share our faith? So let's go to worship together. Let's get our bread and juice, and we'll return.